So we are joined in studio. Is this the studio?
This sounds as a studio.
This is the studio. Okay. We're joined in studio in the St. Lambert's Youth Room by Chris Mutz. Chris is the executive director of the South Dakota Catholic Conference. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks.
How are you doing today?
Doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Beautiful morning. I woke up this morning knowing I was going to come visit with you two and then hit the road straight away back up to Pier, which is about a three-hour plus drive from here. And it's just it's an exciting time of year for me because this is like prime time for the South Dakota Catholic Conference.
This is
like Sunday afternoon for the Vikings or whatever. This is it.
This is your go time.
This is it.
Do you enjoy the drive?
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, if you get out in the middle of South Dakota, you catch some sunsets that are absolutely unique. And, you know, you see antelope or bald eagles or just these these vistas that are really, you know, it's like straight from the finger of God. They're awesome.
Yeah.
So, for those of you who aren't from the area or familiar with it, it's about a three-hour drive.
Yeah, a little over.
To Pier.
Yeah.
Mostly on I-90.
Right.
And then north a little bit along the river.
Yeah.
Great. So, 95th. Legislative Senate. Have you been to them all, Chris?
Yeah.
You've been to them all. That was smooth.
Yeah.
It opened last week, right?
Yeah, it opened last Tuesday. Kind of traditionally, the first day of session is the governor's state of the state. And then the first week, I mean, there is substance occurring, and we'll talk a little bit about some of that substance. But there's a lot of kind of ceremonial stuff, too, in the sense of... So the governor's speech, then the following day, the chief justice will give a kind of a state of the judiciary.
So this was last week,
last
right?
Last week, yep.
Okay.
Then there's a state of the tribes. So the legislators are in joint session in the House chamber. Everybody's packed in there, kind of just receiving these really, oftentimes inspiring, high-level, visionary sorts of talks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they can be frank, too, just sharing, you know, here's what I see, concerns, you know,
Anything stick out from kind of the opening sessions? Any, nuggets of wisdom that were shared as to kind of get people started and thinking along the lines of what are we doing here? Why are we here? That kind of stuff?
Well, one thing that's in people's minds, and the governor kind of alluded to this, you know, she kind of a theme of her talk was we're open for business, just business development, wanting to really just make clear that South Dakota is friendly to entrepreneurs and those who would just seek... human creativity in the field of economics and business, and that to kind of sharpen the point a little bit is it's a tough budget year, kind of a tough agricultural year,
right?
Which means that some sales tax receipts are down. You know, if producers are putting off purchases of big equipment, et cetera. But that's something that South Dakota has got a tradition of doing. We always pass a balanced budget. We have to. But then also just, you know, okay, let's tighten our belts. We're not going to spend money we don't have. We still need to prioritize certain things. You know, we know that there's, in South Dakota, there's a drug problem, there's a suicide problem, there's a mental health problem. And our legislators and our governor are all serious about these sorts of things, too.
So do you think this year some of those things will be addressed? I mean, obviously, not all of the bills have been presented yet. There's a lot filed. You said even before the session started, there was... How many bills were filed before it even started?
Even before the first day, there were 102 bills pre-filed.
Man, oh man, yeah.
Which is new in my 3 years on the job now. My third session now. I haven't seen that yet.
Okay.
Past years, there have been, I don't know, maybe a dozen or less.
Oh, a dozen or less, and now 100?
Yeah, something like that.
What the heck?
Wow.
That's interesting.
You know, and a lot of them are what they call agency bills, where they're being forwarded by, you know, either the governor's office or the attorney general. So some of that can be a product of just, you know, these office holders have a year under their belts now following the 2018 election. You know, they're sworn into office a year ago this month. So, you know, them. Maybe they're building up a head of steam, talking with other seasoned watchers. It's not the most unusual thing in the world, but at the same time, it's like, okay, well, we're going to see 600 bills this session, potentially.
Yeah. Wow.
And in South Dakota, how the process works is every bill that a legislator files gets a hearing in committee. And they've got 37 legislative days this year, 38. So every single one of those bills will be heard by the elected representatives of the people of the state.
Interest question, how much time do they have to present the bill?
It's up to the chair.
Hearing.
It's up to the chair. So it could be, you know, it could be 15 minutes open and close case, or it could be, sometimes they get a couple hours, but that's rare.
Whoa.
Usually they try and move through them.
Pretty quickly, because you have so many.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What's your sense? So it's going to be a busy year. What's your just sense of the year otherwise in terms of, you already spoke about what Governor Noem shared as her priorities at least, but just what's your sense? As you said, this is your third year at session, not 95th, as it turns out. What's your sense of things this year?
What kind of big picture is one of the great challenges that we as Catholics are going to have this year is to just continue to speak the truth in love, but the challenge is unity. This is the challenge, and this is actually something that we as Catholics are made for. We're not just called to communion, we're called to be communion in a certain sense.
Right.
It's like this is a perfect witness that we have to offer mm-hmm. the world. So, you know, to just as a case study, abortion, for example, you know, there's a lot of energy about electricity, God willing, Roe versus Wade and its you know, juridical progeny going the way of the dodo bird, we pray soon. But what that means for the future of this state, for the future of this country, is that this issue is going to be even more contentious politically at the state level in various
sure.
places, including South Dakota. And of course, we know what the evil one likes to do is he likes to sow division and discord,
yep.
even amongst friends.
Sure.
So I think that's going to be a challenge for people, not just people of Christian faith, but people of goodwill, to just to deal with one another with civility and charity.
You're concerned about that this year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's a good reminder, first of all, that we as Catholics, as Christians in general, need to be, wherever you are, every one of the states in the listening area has a state legislature, mm-hmm. So to be praying for mm-hmm. the political process. Not only involved, Catholics were called to be faithful citizens, but to be praying for a fruitful session, but also for peace and civility in the process. That's obviously been a part of the national conversation, the lack of civility. And so we're seeing that even creep down into the state level.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think about it a lot, this imagery of how do we become a bridge rather than an obstacle? Sometimes I think the way that I have presented an idea or, you know, something that I'm passionate about actually presents an obstacle for people. And I've just been reflecting personally, but also in kind of a broader sense. And I think, Chris, you and I have had a lot of conversations about this in regard to the work of the South Dakota Catholic Conference, or really anyone kind of in that world, in that space working in legislation, is how do we create bridges to allow people to cross, to kind of come into unity. I love how you said that. We're not actually just called to create unity. We're called to be unity,
yeah.
And to draw people into that.
Unity and truth. So I think that's a very, very important point. But I would offer just another point for reflection for people is sometimes that we would permit that desire to not be a source of division. We permit that to actually feed maybe a bit of fear, where I'm not going to speak about this thing.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not going to approach this person about this thing because I know it is going to be, the issue is going to be divisive.
Mm-hmm.
That fear we need to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do.
Because it can choke.
Yeah, it can really choke the truth.
Yeah.
So somebody might be listening to that, they'll be like, okay, but how do you speak the truth and be a bridge?
Yeah, I mean, just put on the mind of Christ, pray. You just gotta, if you're not praying every day, you know, that's faithful citizenship. Step number one is pray every day. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think you've also articulated so many times the importance of relationship. You know, that I'm not just approaching a difficult conversation with somebody that I've never met that I don't know. I might have that difficult conversation, but I'm also going to say, who are you? Tell me about who you are, where you come from. Let me understand you and love you so that we can actually have a conversation that's conducive and helpful.
And that's my challenge to everybody listening right now is my challenge to you is to know who your representatives and your senator are. Everybody in South Dakota has two state representatives and one senator. You know their names. That's my challenge to you. So next time I see you on the street and you say, hey, I heard you on the radio, pop quiz time, I'm going to ask you. I'm not going to quiz you guys right now. But, you know, just know who those people are. And, you know, it can be really, it's just so great if the first time you don't want it to be the first time you're contacting somebody necessarily. Right. On so right. Mm-hmm. If you've got that mm-hmm. foundation in place, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. much better.
I think your emails are really helpful because there's actually a link that if you don't know who your representative is, you can click and find them. So I use that every year to remind me who my representatives are. Keeping it real here.
Amen.
But your emails are really helpful if people can sign up for them on your website at South Dakota Catholic Conference. But your emails throughout session also kind of indicate certain bills that have been presented and certain bills that we as Catholics, I think, need to be particularly aware of. We obviously need to be aware of all of them as faithful citizens, but you have a particular interest in certain areas within the church. And I know you did send one email so far regarding a bill. Can you talk a little bit about what that is, what we need to be aware of?
Yeah, it's House Bill 1057. It's a bill that would prevent doctors, healthcare providers, from either chemically blocking normal puberty, prescribing large doses of cross-sex hormones, or conducting what are commonly referred to as cross-sex sorts of surgeries on minors.
On children.
Yeah, I mean, these practices are gravely immoral, to use the language of the church, and at least some of them are known to be happening in South Dakota in numbers that are not inconsequential. It's known. Even through just court filings, you know, by people seeking to change birth certificates on teenagers. So this is public record. It's gravely immoral, and the church is, this is a topic that, you know, of course has been, we may remember, I think it was 5 years ago now, when a former Olympic athlete, you know, who won men's track events, was on the cover of Vanity Fair. You know, that's, it almost seems like an eternity ago in a certain sense, but this issue has been really prevalent in society in the last 5 years. And the reason it's important is because there's something, not only is like the underlying falsehood a concern, but something called rapid, what medical researchers would call rapid onset gender dysphoria. You know, there's a clinic in Britain, they call it a children's gender clinic. They've seen a 4,000% increase.
Yeah,
in
what's
the number
happening
of,
there?
Yeah, so that we know that there is, you know, an underlying mental health condition, but it certainly seems that it's accelerating, and more children just see this as a good for themselves, that they would permanently alter their bodies through chemicals or surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Catholic Conference is really proud to just stand in compassion, because we recognize that these are real people. They're not just numbers. There's mm-hmm. a real experience of pain, the emotion, the sentiments. They're very sincere. They're very real. And so it is, we always must look upon, you know, the poor, the marginalized, those in pain, to just put on the eyes of Christ and look upon them with the gaze that he looks upon them with. Yet at the same time, just understanding that it's a very appropriate function of the law to seek to protect people.
Which actually allows you to get to the heart of what's going on.
Right.
Why? What's going on in this child, in their life, in their family situation, in their psychological, you know, state? What's going on that's at the core of this? And let's first actually address those things, the protection of the child first and foremost, in figuring out, okay, where is there, I mean, there's a reason it's called a dysphoria, you know, this disorder of how we see ourselves. You know, if we went into a doctor and said, this arm doesn't belong to me, yeah. Cut it off,
yeah.
They would look at us like we were crazy, you know. So there's this reality that there's a disorder in the way that we're viewing some of these things, and I think it allows us to get to the heart of the child and what's really going on.
Yeah. I mean, that's the etymological root of the word dysphoria, is a feeling of something isn't right when in fact reality is right.
Mm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Real Presence Live. I'm Chris Bergwald.
And I am Emily Leadham.
Yes,
sorry.
You are. Thank you.
Sorry, I was still thinking about her. This is such a good conversation. I'm totally lost in it.
And we're talking today with Chris Motz, the executive director of the South Dakota Catholic Conference, about this session in the South Dakota legislature. Chris, we just got a couple minutes left. Anything else with this bill in particular? It is such a, I think, important bill and, frankly, contentious bill.
Yeah.
What we were talking about earlier, divisive and so on. But is there anything else that you want to talk about today?
Yeah, I would just mention that one of the arguments is kind of floating around out there, that this bill, if passed, would be could potentially have negative economic consequences for the business development of the state.
That's the critique of it, you're saying?
That's one of the critiques. And I would just...
Or criticisms?
Yeah, that... on a moral basis, the argument I find to be empty. So we have to remember that business, whatever we're doing in society, whether it's business, culture, art, it's always got to be oriented towards and seeking to build up the common good.
Amen.
So for that argument, I would really just for anybody who's in business, really curious about, you know, what is this argument, because it's being made by some influential organizations, is that there's a document called The Vocation of a Business Leader that really speaks to this point. You know, the high calling of entrepreneurs in society to actually orient their public voice, not just their business operations, but their public voice towards truth, justice, the common good, etc. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as with everything that the church teaches, it's written by Catholics for Catholics, but somebody else could read it and see the reasonable nature of what's being said.
Yeah, and actually, the bishops, I think it was a Region 7, just on an ad limina a couple weeks ago, this is one of the topics the Pope brought up.
Yeah.
And he said, this is not a religious issue. This is a human rights issue.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Not to, of course, empty it of religious meaning, but it is human rights.
Amos.
Tell us one more time where people can sign up for your updates and emails.
sdcatholicconference.org is the website. They can get on the email list. They can check out all the positions in the 2020 session.
And even for listeners outside of South Dakota, you offer great education. So I think people in any of our states would be in our listening area would be really benefited by your work. So
thanks, Chris, for being here.
Thank you.
God bless you.